Blog Talk Radio.
Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of adults
in geriatrics as well as pediatric psychiatry. In other words, she treats from the womb to the tomb. If you need to talk to anybody, please, please don't take anything into your own hands. Please call Dr. Carol at 813-689-2466. No matter where you are in the world, she'll talk to you. No matter what you're doing, she'll talk to you. She's committed to helping people. Well, Frank, we had a pretty light week in boxing this week.
Yeah, hello? I don't think there's too many fights.
No, there was Friday night, there was a near sell crowd up at the Sands Casino in Bethlehem, where the undefeated welterweight sensation, Ronald Cruz, who we had on here about 4 or 5 weeks ago, made his hometown debut, and it was really a successful one. He scored a six-round stoppage of a dangerous veteran, Doel Carrasaguillo, who was at that time 16-18-1, the 14 knockouts from Reading, Pennsylvania. He also had been on the program here not too long ago, maybe January or February, and he was looking forward to this fight because both Bethlehem and Reading are only about 60 miles away, so they knew they were going to have a big crowd, and they both wanted to make a success. And it evidently it was a success for one. Frank, do you have anything over there?
No, I'm not the boxing guy Bob was, but I know that tonight there's a big fight with Klitschko and David Haye.
Right. David Haye.
But Klitschko outweighs him by nearly 30 pounds, but you know.
Yeah, he is looking for his 50th knockout, and he's being a sort of a jerk at the weigh-in and put a writ of 50 on his hand. But I don't think David Haye should even be there. I really think he's going to get his lunch today.
And we'll see. It's you don't have to be the best man in the ring. You just have to be the one that worked the hardest.
That's right. But yeah, remember Klitschko's got an arm length of about 84 inches, so that gives him a when you come in, you're coming into his territory, and you know if you're trying to go for the body, he's going to get you. If you're going to try to go for the head, he's going to block you. You know, so it's going to be a real tight fight there. But I think it's if it goes six rounds, I would be very, very, very surprised. So he had a another former Olympian flyweight prospect, McWilliams Aurora, 8-1 with five knockouts. Make quick work of a three-time title challenger, Lorenzo Trujillo, 28-22-16, on Friday night at the Tomas Coliseum in Fajuto, Puerto Rico. Aurora dropped Trujillo twice in round two, and Trujillo stayed on the deck. He just didn't get up, and they called the fight at 111 in the second round. It was originally set to go a full 10 rounds. But, Frank, maybe we could tell the listeners, boxing has always been Bobby's love. But one of the things that was his big love, and one of the things that you shared with him a lot, was his music. And let's talk about the other night, and what a fantastic job Alex did for him.
On Dio Priest Radio, they had a show in memorial to Bob. It was a very, very good show. Had the guys from Jet Boy on there, Neil Turbin came on, a lot of guys that Bob had interviewed at one point in time came on to basically, tell stories about Bob and how Bob had touched each one of their lives, and it was a very good show.
I thought it was well done. Jet Boy had made the announcement that they're just cutting a new album, and they're going to put trying to figure a way now to put a some kind of an insert in there honoring Bob for all he's done for them and help them revive their career by getting them on different things. And you know, for those of you who don't know, Bob not only Bob took in strays. If you were down and out on your luck and he saw you, I mean, we were standing in a at a farmer's market one day, and he noticed a guy from Jimmy DeLisi standing there getting some fruit, and immediately Bob knew who it was, and that he had been with is it Princess? Is that the name of the group he's with?
Frank?
Huh?
Yeah.
And he went right over, introduced himself, and the guy had told him he was on Hard Times and nobody would talk to him. Bob took his number, went home, sat down, started making some phone calls to people that he had met in the media world, and they're now in the studio cutting a new album that'll be released sometime in September. So, you know, he had he just was that kind of a person. If you met him, he was your friend. If he was your friend, he was your friend for life. You screw him, and he still came back and was your friend for half a life. But, and we had to, we want to send a big, big hello out there to our favorite listener. And it has to be big because so is he, the beautiful and lovely Benny Henderson, who has been a tremendous crutch to the family through this hard times, and has made himself available 24 hours a day whenever we needed to call anybody. So we want to say thank you to Benny. I'm going to say thank you to Joe Ponce, trainer out of Tampa, Florida. Came down with some of his fighters for the viewing. To Edner Cherry, my God, I called him, and before I knew it, he was standing next to me at church. Just excellent fighters, excellent trainers. To Danny Batchelder, who is like a extra son to me. Dan, we know what you're going through. We feel it too, but reach out. We need to talk to you.
Well, Danny's going to be on in a little bit.
That's excellent. He can tell us, he can update us about his fight that he's going to have in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And he just finished a fight in, where was that, Colorado, Frank?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. But there are so many people out there that reached out to the family, and we really and truthfully want to thank you. And we want to say how much we really appreciate it. So let's go to our next item here, Frank. Terry Smith. This is a very sad story. Terry was an attorney up in Sacramento, California, who was also a former boxing official, a referee who officiated several world title fights in the U.S. and abroad, died yesterday in his native England. He succumbed after a long illness at the age of 76. Many people might remember Terry in his ring career because he was a amateur boxer, winning the 156 national title in 1959 in Sacramento State when boxing for the intercollegiate sport. In 1960, he was an alternate to then the Cassius Clay, now known as Muhammad Ali, in the Olympic team, but never saw action there. It was less than a brief career. He was an attorney for the Sacramento District Attorney's Office. He was highly respected by his peers as a referee and a judge. And you may remember that he and his traveling buddy was Judge Miles. What's Miles' last name? Do you remember, Frank?
Miles
the little
Lane.
Guy?
Miles Lane.
Miles Lane, yeah. They were they used to travel together. In fact, they were in the same circuit, and so it made them made it easy for those guys to ride to different fights together. And they always got the big ones. And you never, when those guys got in the ring, you never ever questioned. I mean, it's not like a Dave Tiberi getting thrown out on a technicality. I mean, just taking a title away from him because some guy who wasn't licensed was in there. These guys made the decision, squared it off, and they were both both excellent referees. So we want to send our heartfelt feelings and of good thoughts to Terry's widow and his children. He always made the right call. Tony, he had guts, and his fellow referee, John Shelfie, said he was the guy who was tutored by him and Miles Lane, and he just can't say enough about him. So, and,
right.
Turning to a lighter point, Frank, what do you think about tonight's Hayes fight? I mean, I've spouted off already.
As much as I'd like to see David Hay win,
Let me ask you this. You know, we have a good friend, Stevie Cunningham. We have a good friend, Aaron Jaco. We have a couple other good friends, Eddie Chambers. All three fighters not only knocked the fighter down that they were fighting, not only damn near locked him out. At Eddie Chambers, they gave a 17 count so that he would lose. It was amazing. I don't think you can get a fair fight in Germany. What do you think?
No, and we've heard this time and time again that, you know, in order to win in Germany, you need to damn near knock the guy unconscious.
Mm-hmm. And then he's going to get the decision on a draw.
Yeah.
You know, you got to knock him out twice to get the win. But,
yeah.
It's been a long run over there that we have not seen an American win. And of course, David Hay is not American; he's English. But for some reason, the German population, they'll turn out. They'll turn out 70,000-80,000 people to see this thing. But they have a love for the Polish, German, Russian, and Slavic fighters, and they have a dislike for anyone who speaks English.
Yeah. It's really a shame that it's so blatantly obvious that you're not going to get a fair shake out there.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't seem like the boxing world really the boxing world really seems to turn a blind eye to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we can't go through through a show without mentioning Manny Pacquiao. We all know that Bob had a man crush on Manny, as we used to kid him. He could give you stats. He was a walking encyclopedia of Manny Pacquiao stats and places he was and things that he had done and wanted to. He really would have wanted to be there when he does take this. He's got what? Five belts now, is it, Frank?
I believe so.
I think it's five. It's either five. It might be seven. But every belt that he's gone for, he's taken. Our good friend from the southernmost point in the world, Mr. John Crane, will be the first one to tell you that he doesn't think that Manny can beat Mayweather. And, John's a scribe for Doghouse Boxing also. And we talked about it. We kidded about it last week. And he got this mindset that it's going to happen. And that, but, you know, I don't understand. It's not money that's holding this fight up. I think this fight, a fight with those two guys, is being held up simply because the Mayweathers can't stay out of jail and can't stay out of trouble. The uncle beats up his girlfriend. He beats up a security guard. There was all kinds of rumors, and then we did check them out, and they were true. And do you really want that kind of guy being in, when you look at that 24/7 that they do before the fight? Do you really want your children looking up to somebody that uses the F-bomb as either the subject or predicate of every sentence, or gets worse from there? Not me. I would rather see Manny Pacquiao, given the fact that he does speak limited broken English and sings horrible. I'd rather see him as the champion than I would with Mayweather. But $50 million is a lot of money, even after taxes.
Yeah.
You know? But it would be in our interest for sure that to have that fight come off, because we certainly would be covering it. And we were told by a couple friends of ours who are Glenn Johnson and a couple other boxers that if that comes off, that they will take us with them, and we will be able to do a live feed. We did a live feed here not too long ago with a boxer who unfortunately lost the fight, and then 2 weeks later he lost his brother in a very nasty gun battle with police officers, and who he took two police officers down before he went. And Jeff Lacy has not been stepped in the ring since. But we went up and covered the Jeff Lacy fights with Boxing Hall of Fame announcer and good friend of ours, Kicks Country Bob Alexander. Bob played for us at the Venice Vikings. He was a fantastic linebacker, and I don't think anybody on the radio in the morning knows what this guy is. The nicest man you ever want to meet in your life. Just don't put a football helmet on him and a pair of pads, and if you do, you better be on his side, because he'll tear you apart. But nice, nice man. He and his wife and their son JD did play for us. And whenever we had a game, we never had to worry about a chain crew, because his wife and a friend of theirs did the chains and the down markers every single home game, and then a couple away games for us. So that actually worked out pretty well for us. JD has gone on to bigger and better things, and I'm happy to announce that he has a beautiful bouncing baby girl born in February, and according to her grandfather, she's the most beautiful thing in the world. And as he was showing me his ring for the Hall of Fame, I asked him, I looked at his little finger, and I said, "Now, this is the one. You got to understand, Bob, this is the one that child is going to have you wrapped around." And he just got this big grin in his face, and that's true. She'll have Bob and his wife wrapped around her finger in a very short time.
Yeah.
So we got news in that Humberto Soto has decided to give up his WBC lightweight world title and move up to super light in a search for another world title. Soto, who defeated his last Saturday night, Marukushi Sasaki, has officially notified the World Boxing Commission that he is of his decision to leave the title there and vacate the belt. So that should be, that's might be a place where Danny could move into. What do you think, Frank?
Danny Batchelder?
Yeah. No, I guess he's a little heavier, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny's a heavyweight.
We'll put him on a diet. Okay. You know, he's supposed to be moving to Florida. Everybody that knows Danny was in Florida, then ended up going out to Vegas to train. Then after a long stint there, ended up living over in New York, and now he's down in New Orleans and about to have a big fight down there. And then I know he and Joe Ponce and Winky Wright have been talking about training at the 4th Street Gym here in St. Petersburg, so that'll be good to see him here, and that'll put he and Edna Cherry in the same stable with Joe Ponce, and it should be great. Friday night, I can't believe this, July 8th, we're going to have a salute to Philly boxers at the new Palladium gym in Philadelphia. We cut our teeth in Philadelphia on boxing at a really neat old gym, the Alhambra, that was up in K&A in Kensington. And it had fallen on hard times. Somebody had brought it back up, and then it has fallen on to hard times again. And from what I understand, it's closed. The other place we used to go to was the arena at 46th and Market, but that neighborhood has just gone to pot, and the owners, which was ABC Television and Radio, have just let that one close. So now they're going to have the new Palladium. It's slated for 8 o'clock, and it'll present their inaugural card featuring all local talent, including the undefeated featherweight Koi Pretty Boy Evans, who's a pretty sharp kid. He's 10-0 with two knockouts. And if you're in the Philadelphia area and you think that you want to go to it, the address is 229 West Allegheny. So that's just off K&A. So that would be right about where boxing started in Philadelphia. For those of you who don't know, Cloverleigh, which was Joe Frazier's gym, trained a lot of fighters right there at Broad and Lehigh, and there were a lot of good people that worked with Joe Frazier and were able to get his purses and invest them for him. And now he and Benny Briscoe and Dave Tiberi, and there's four or five other guys on that board are helping young fighters come into their own, both financially and helping them in the ring with instructions. David Ruiz, who's a fighter out of West Philadelphia in the Powhatan area, is one of the legacies of that group. David really wanted to move along as fast as he can, and he took the last time we talked to him, he was going to take six fights a year, and he was going to try and make a name for himself that way. Well, Frank, we've got an hour left in the show here. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to, as I queue up this stuff here, and here we go.
How do you make a great water heater even better? That's easy. You take the brand most purchased by plumbing contractors, Bradford White, and add the awesome technology of the Icon Control System. The Icon System is an electronic gas control available only from Bradford White. When used with the exclusive Icon System accessory packages, increases usable hot water by up to 50% or more and can improve energy efficiency by up to 36%. In addition, there's leak protection, programmable control, and automatic water shutoff for peace of mind. To find a plumbing contractor and learn more about the Icon Control, visit Bradford White.com.
hosted by Dr. Kathleen Carroll of Bloomingdale Psychiatric Associates in Brandon, Florida, on behalf of the men and women in the armed forces, law enforcement, and fire rescue. Dr. Carroll treats psychiatric problems from the womb to the tomb, from children to adults. Her office is professionally staffed to deal with any type of problem and does so in a caring, gentle fashion. Dr. Carroll also specializes in sports psychiatry. If an athlete is not able to reach the next level, she can help. She is a world-class athlete, and her training in both sports psychiatry and sporting events will benefit today's athlete who has seemed to hit the wall. Dr. Carroll is located at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. For more information on her services, give the office a call at 813-689-2466.
White Horse Radio Network listeners, don't forget to tune in to Big Dog Radio, airing Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the White Horse Radio Network. The show will fill you in on the latest news and happenings in the fight world, delving not only into the boxing world, but also including the latest news from the biggest names in the world of mixed martial arts. Stars from both disciplines are featured weekly and call in to talk to the guys. The show always welcomes input from the listeners, so call into the show at 347-202-0832. The show is hosted by Boxing Talk senior writer, the Big Dog Benny Henderson Jr., and is co-hosted by two of the biggest names in the world of boxing radio, Big Time Timmy Cudges and Bob Carroll. Make sure to tune in to Big Dog Radio Show, airing on the Fight Wars Radio Network, Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. We're back, and we have an announcement to make, and hope everybody in the Sarasota, Bradenton, Venice, Port Charlotte area knows that Mr. Aaron Jaco of Fight Fame has opened a new gymnasium on Clark Road in Sarasota. Aaron and Adam both have fought. Of course, they're the legacies of Dave Jaco, who was one of the guys that he fought Foreman. He fought five or six other big guys, and Dave has now written a book on fighting, and it's being published. So he's the nice thing about Dave is he tells it just exactly like he did. After he fought Foreman, he took the whole purse that he got and went out drinking and spent the whole thing in two nights. So if you want to get a hold of Aaron or Adam, give him a call at 941-232-8431. That's, I think I gave you the wrong number there. It's 941-445-0577. That's 941-445-0577. We also want to send a big thank you out to the biggest teddy bear, roughest coach I've ever worked for. But when I had to make a certain call to him, became the biggest teddy bear, the biggest guy to be at my side, Coach Skip Poole of the Chattanooga Chew. Coach Poole gave Bob and I our chance to start to learn coaching right from the master. He was a fantastic mentor, and we had a lot of good times together. So we want to say, Skip, I know you're listening. Thanks very much for all your help, and we love you, man. We also, do we have somebody queued up there, Frank, on three?
Hey, Danny Batchelder.
Ooh! Well, let's bring him on. And
Danny,
now the lovely,
doing,
vivacious, and ever beautiful,
hey guys.
Mr.
Hey
guys. Danny
Batchelder. How's it going, man?
How you doing, buddy?
And how y'all doing, man?
Well, we're getting through this, Ben. I'm sorry.
I hear you. We all know what's on all our hearts and all our minds right now. But at least we know one thing. At least we know somebody's got our back now for sure. You know, he'll be on our shoulder for life. He'll be on our shoulder for life, and I know he always wanted the best for all of us. And I've never met he's one of the best human beings I had ever met in my life. And I love Bob. Bob was family. And, I feel bad because I just fought, a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And, I took it on short notice. And,
right.
And man, you never know what chances are winning in life, But, boy, I tell you what, I will say this, and I'm going to put this out there. I'm going to tell you what, this go-around, I'm coming back at cruiserweight. I'm losing weight. I'm going to go back to cruiserweight one more time. And I tell you what, I'm dedicating this last run for Bob. I got to get a belt in Bob's name. And I promise you guys with my whole heart I'll do it. And, from here on out, when I fight, it's going to be for Bob. And I ain't dropping no more dumb ones, okay, guys?
Hey. Well, Danny, you know for sure that we'll be there at your side, at ringside, for two reasons. One, for Bob, because that's what he would want us to do. But two, because we want to be next to the beautiful women you always pick up.
it just goes to show you, women like ugly guys. I don't care what people say. Women like ugly guys. Look, there's only two reasons a girl will date a guy. Either he's got a lot of money or he's ugly. I mean, that's just it. And thankfully, they're not after my money. They're just after my ugly looks, I guess. I don't know.
Dan, you had a fight come up in New Orleans. Is that still on?
No, I just fought the 18th. I fought
right.
The 18th of this month.
Was that in New Orleans?
No, that was in Oklahoma.
Right.
I fought Eric Fields. He's
okay.
A top 15
right.
contender. I didn't think I was fighting until September, but I wasn't training. They called me 2 weeks before the fight, offered it to me. I said, no way, because the money they were talking was ridiculous.
Right.
Then the money got a little better, and I said, but then they wanted me to come in at 200 pounds. I was way heavy. I hadn't been training, I know.
Yeah.
Then, to make a long story short, 7 days out, they named the weight. I thought I could make it, which I did. I came in at the lightest I've been in, like, the last 2-3 years. I came in at 209. Took the fight on 7 days' notice. I sparred twice. And I almost had him out a couple times. It was a heck of a fight. Oklahoma has it on the papers. It's one of the best fights they've ever seen in Oklahoma. The promoter loves me. The promoter is now promoting me. He's going to have to do my next few fights for me. It worked out. I took it on short notice just because, I think kind of like an old school fighter. Back in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, fighters fought. It wasn't about the perfect time. It wasn't about the perfect location. I like to think of myself as a throwback fighter. I'll fight anybody, anywhere, anytime. And, so I got an opportunity to fight, so I went and fought, he appointed me. He was in camp in Colorado for 2 months. He had good legs on him. He was kind of quick. But, I looked good. I gave the crowd a hell of a show. They loved me. And, that's just who I am. I ain't going to back down from nobody. I ain't scared of nobody.
Right. What's the give our listeners an idea of now that you're – do you have anything – you have nothing scheduled through the end of the year, or do you have something scheduled?
No, I'm going to probably fight again in Oklahoma. It looks like I'll be fighting – they're going to do shows every 60 days. 90 days, so I'm going to probably be fighting either the end of August or early September again back in Oklahoma.
Excellent. And now that you're post-fight, do you still go to the gym every day? Do you still work out sparring?
No, I go to the gym. In between fights, I'll stay in the gym like probably 3, maybe 4 days a week. Just, because I won't lie, I'm kind of self-conscious. I don't like to look bad. I try to keep my body in a little bit of shape, I do a little bit here, a little bit there. Not die hard, but I do enough just to keep myself active, just to keep my body going. And then like 6 to 8 weeks out, I really, I kick in and I start doing I put in the real work. But, in between fights, just 3 to 4 days a week, little jogging, running, a little lifting, you know, just keep the body, you know, going, you know.
Right. Now, you're going back to cruiserweight now.
Yeah, I'm going to go back down to 200.
Good. Good. Yeah.
Which means I
imagine
if
you went into the heavyweight, that must have thrown off your timing, didn't it?
Well, no, you know, like, look, I'm not a crybaby, and I know you hear all the time, I was robbed, but, you know, I fought some of the best at heavyweight. I fought James Toney. I fought Alexander Dimitrenko. He was number one in the world. I fought Lance Whitaker. Like, you know, I fought some of the best heavyweights there was, and, you know, the only one that beat me was Layman Brewster. Layman Brewster caught me with a hell of a shot. Like, I'll give him that. My legs were gone, you know. But I was ahead on all the scorecards before that happened. But, you know, so, it ain't that the heavyweights beat me. It was just I was on all their promoters' cards. You know, Goose is a crook. You know, I fought in Germany. They're crooks, you know, like. I ain't do nothing, but, you know, I'm going to go back down to cruiserweight because, you know, me and the promoter spoke. He thought it would be a good move. So, you know, I'm going to go back down. I'll probably, you know, I'm going to try to get a world title at cruiserweight. Then maybe I'll come back to heavyweights one more time because I ain't done with them. I think the heavyweights are a bunch of bums right now.
Sure.
Besides from the Klitschko's, the heavyweights are a bunch of bums. There ain't nobody I'd be scared about fighting in the heavyweights. Nobody. I wouldn't be scared of nobody. There's only a couple decent ones in America. I think Chris Areola is terrible. I wish Dan Goosen would give me him. But you know, and I know listeners are like, oh, you've lost your last few in a row, but you know, you gotta know the real boxing world. You know, I was fighting on their turf, their time, you know what I mean? But you know, it is what it is, but I don't know. But
I made a prediction earlier in the show that I think it's gonna be Klitschko before the end of the sixth round.
What's going on? They're fighting right now.
Yeah, I don't think David Haye can go.
My friend just texted me, said the first two rounds were just god awful boring. Haye was running all over the place.
Yeah,
and that's the last I heard.
Yeah, wouldn't you with that that stretch that Klitschko's got?
Well, you know what, man? I mean, look, being a fighter, I know this. I know that it's easier said than done, but a lot of these guys are fighting the Klitschko's. And they're staying outside trying to outbox them. You can't outbox a guy with an 81 or 82-inch reach.
Right.
Like, and I know the Klitschko's hit unbelievably hard because I know people that went and sparred them, and they told me how hard they hit, how strong they are. But if anybody's going to beat the Klitschko's, it's like when Layman Brewster beat Klitschko. Layman was so strong and so durable. He took what Klitschko had, then he came back and beat them. And Klitschko's don't like abuse. They like giving it, but they don't like taking it. So if you're going to beat a Klitschko brother, if you're going to beat the Klitschko's, you have to be tough, you have to have a good chin, and you have to be in unbelievable shape. You have to get in their chest and not let them hold you and let the referee break you up and set you back apart. When you get inside of them, you have to hit them to the body. You have to hurt them. You got to work them. And that's what Brewster did. Brewster took his abuse. Brewster's a man. Let me tell you something about Layman. Layman would take whatever he had to take because he was going to get you back. And the couple times the Klitschko's have lost, that's what happened. They start getting hit back, and they don't like to get hit.
Right.
So to be a Klitschko brother, you have to be in great shape. You have to have a good chin. You have to be willing to get through what they got to get to them.
Sure.
And none of these fighters do it. They try to run away and stay outside of them and let them use their jet. You're never going to beat them like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always said if I fought a Klitschko, if they can hit hard enough to knock me out, you'd probably see me knocked out pretty fast because I'm going fucking balls to the wall for their chest.
There you go.
You know, it's going to be what it's going to be. But at least, what's that?
I think Frankie had a question for you.
Hey, what's that, Frank? Fight's over.
What?
Klitschko
knock him out?
Unanimous decision.
Really?
How many rounds?
It doesn't say. It just says a flopping David Haye proved more bark than bite as he rolled to a unanimous decision.
Wow.
Awesome, because I hate Haye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Danny, I've always been, and I'm not the boxing guru Bob was, but I've always heard that the English fighters tend to be dancers. They dance around. They try and pick at you, and that's just the way they fight. That they're more of a hunt and peck kind of fighter than a.
Well, I knew one of the greatest middleweights that had came from England. His name was Robert McCracken. I actually had the honor to spar him. When I first went to Las Vegas, I was 18, 19 years old. He was one of the first people I sparred there. And let me tell you something about him. He wasn't anybody that was going to dance and peck at you. He would knock your head off. I don't think, and Hayes usually aggressive. Hayes a puncher. But I think with the heavyweights, Hayes become a little more cautious. I think the heavyweights kind of scared him, because his one loss is by knockout. Well, now he's got two losses. He didn't get knocked out. But, I don't think this was a no shock. I knew Hay wasn't going to try standing there and go blow for blow for Klitschko. That'd be a suicide. You know what I mean? Especially the way Hay is. I knew he was all talk. He wasn't going to stand there and banging out with him like he said he was going to. And obviously, as a fighter, you got to know something. That's why I never say... people are like, what are your game plans? I honestly tell them, I don't know. Because, bottom line, you don't know what you're going to do when you get in that ring. But, I'm not going to tell somebody, okay, I'm going to bang it out with this guy, and then I'm going to get in there and run for him for 12 rounds. Then you make yourself look bad,
Right.
I mean, you got to be honest. You got to be honest.
Right. Now, a while back we had talked, and you were talking about coming down and working with Joe and the guys down here in St. Peter. Is that still part of your plan, or what's the story?
Yes, that's actually probably going to happen soon. Joe just finished a gym. Joe owns his own gym now. It's built up. It's going. I was just on the phone with Joe yesterday, and Joe wants me back. We're discussing it. Me and my girlfriend are both kind of want to move to Florida. But you know how it is, guys. You kind of got to get things right before you can just pick up and move. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Me and Joe, as of right now, just set a date as to when he wants me down there. He's got to get through this Tarver fight. But it looks right now is I should be there a week after the Tarver fight. He's going to bring me down. I'm going to look for a place for me and my girl to stay or live. And it looks like it's going to happen even sooner than we all thought.
Good. Well, at this point in time, I'll have a place for you. All you got to do is bring your own insurance.
That would be great because, I really wanted to go back to Florida for years now. My girl's father and stuff lives in Florida. She's the one I'm going for. Actually somebody that supports me now and, loves what I do, my life's going good. And, besides some of the recent things, but, I really want to get back. So right now the plan is a week after Tarver fights Green, I should be in there.
Excellent. Where's Joe's new gym?
St. Pete.
Okay. Is it up off of 4th Street or is it to the west side?
I don't know where the street is at. You'd have to ask him if he knows all that. And, But, Joe, let me tell you something, he's one of the most diehard boxing people I've ever met. He wants to be a great trainer. He learns from Angelo Dundee and Jimmy Williams. I've never seen anybody that lives, breathes, and bleeds boxing like Joe does.
No. And what a nice sportsman. Yeah, what a nice man.
He's the best, man. He's the best.
Yeah.
And, he took this hard, too. He loved Bob. He always tells me, he goes, he goes, man, Bob, Bob gave me, was the one guy that gave me my first actual real radio interview. And, after Bob gave him his radio interview, Bob actually spoke to Joe and, told him how to do radio, told him what to do, what the listeners were like. And, after that, Joe branched off and got his own radio show. And, Joe always gave credit to Bob for showing him how to do it and what the listeners want and what the listeners look for. Bob helped him out huge with his radio show.
Right. Well, we used to do a radio show from a small bar in West Bradenton, Cherry's Sports Bar. And they had all kinds of televisions around so that you could watch we would be able to watch fights from someplace. We'd be able to watch soccer. We'd be able to watch football. We'd be able to watch baseball. The only time that Bob ever lost his concentration was when the two rather buxom barmaids would walk past Bob and his teeth would just drop out. And he couldn't
talk. Yeah, I'm sure. Bob was so funny. You know, I don't know, man. I got so many, like I said, I didn't get to hang out with Bob like I wanted to, but, like, over the phone, like, oh, man, like, you know, me and Bob used to always tease each other about Four Locos and, like.
Right, right.
I guess one time, I don't know, I had a weekend to myself, so I went a little crazy. And I told him, I said, hey, Bob. I called him, I go, Bob. I go, you know what I'm going to do? He goes, well, I go, I'm going to drink four Locos tonight. He goes, Danny, you're going to die. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to do it. He goes, Danny, don't do it. I said, I'm doing it. Well, I guess, I don't know when I did, but I guess I called him sometime during the mayhem, probably after my second one or whatever. And he said, and I called him. So the next day I woke up, and I walked out into my living room, and it looked like 30 people had a fight in my living room. There was couches.
I can't remember the story.
Literally, the couch was tipped over. Stools were all over the place. Somehow a gallon of milk was out of the refrigerator, spilled all over the place. I mean, it just was a mess. I was like, what happened? And I didn't remember nothing. And all of a sudden, my phone rang, and it was Bob. I go, Bob, what's up? And he goes, Andy, are you alive? I go, yeah. He goes, dude, what were you doing last night? I go, I don't know, Bob. And I told him, like, what my living room looked like. He goes, yeah, I can believe it. I go, Bob, what was I saying to you? He's like, I don't know. He goes, all I know is you're talking about certain people, and you thought people were after you. He goes, I heard loud music in the background. He goes, and then I just heard a loud smashing, and the phone hung up. I was like, oh, my God. So I don't know. To this day, I don't know what happened. But, you know, Bob was laughing so hard at me. He's like, I told you. He goes, at least you didn't wind up naked out in the street somewhere. I'm like, yeah, thank God.
Now, the last time we talked, there was two last times that we talked. One when we called you on the air, and he did his impression of a homo sapien and tried to get you to fight on him, but you were with your lady friend. And then the second one was that you were trying to get her to go out and do a Four Loko. Did that ever happen?
Well, let me tell you something crazy about her. Now, my girl's small. I call her a tic-tac because she's, like, small. So I told her about these Four Locos, right? And she's like, yeah, bad. You know, she's young, though. She's only 26.
Right.
I said, you know what? You drink one of these. Let me see what you got. She's like, all right. So she drank one. And now, don't get me wrong. She was, like, faded bad. But she's like, I'm still da da da. I go, all right, drink another one. So she's like, all right. So I open another one. I was like, do it. And I'm not lying to you. She drank like 3/4 of the second one.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, how are you doing this? And like, now don't get me wrong, she was beyond destroyed, I'll tell you that. But I'll tell you what, she was still somehow walking. She somehow did not throw up. I don't know how that didn't happen. Now, don't get me wrong. She was like, trust me, there was no way her passing is sober. But
right.
He drank like almost 2 full ones, and she like, I mean, she did pass out eventually. That was when I had my fun. No, I'm just kidding. She did it, dude. She was a soldier. She did it.
Well, so if that works,
I should buy
for my wife.
Oh, dude, if you buy her a Four Loko, you got whatever you want that night. And if they're sore the next morning, you just say, hey, you told me to do it. I was like, I said, I was shocked myself when you told me to do it, but hey, I didn't want to disappoint you.
Frank, this guy has had some of the most attractive ladies, and there are some ladies that currently were and currently are in the adult, not the adult industry, film industry, but in the film industry as adults, that it's just amazing. Either he's got a great line of shit or he must be good.
Yeah, I got a great line of shit, don't worry. I mean, we all know I'm not good looking, so it ain't that.
Okay,
I told you, girls like ugly guys. Girls like ugly guys, I'm telling you.
All right, let's get to the heart of the real stuff. How's the kids doing?
Oh, you know, man, I'm actually going to pick my boys up on the 6th of July. They've been back in New York, staying with my brother while I fought and stuff. You know, they're really looking forward to coming back. They're looking forward to coming back. So I get them on the 6th. I'll be back out here on the 8th with them. My oldest one is really like diehard boxing. Like he's got the bug. You know, things he can do already is just insane. I look at him, I'm like, man, he's gonna be better than me by the time he's like 12. But he blows my mind.
Good. Are you gonna get him in the Golden Gloves out there, or what are you gonna do?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna. You know, he's coming back here this week. We're gonna get him started.
Great.
You know, I'm gonna get him started. He's ready to go. He's like, Dad, I've been doing my sit-ups, I've been doing my push-ups. You know, da da da. Like, I mean, he's so funny. You know, but then the younger one, he don't want no part of it. You know, he's just, you know, it's funny how they're total opposites. You know, but on my oldest one, like he loves it. You know, he's like, Dad, I'm gonna be. He tells me every day, he goes, I'm gonna be a boxer like you. He goes, but I'm just gonna be better than you were. I was like, all right, you know, I hope you are. But
there you go.
Yeah, he loves it. He's really got the bug.
Now let me ask you something.
A surprise is my girlfriend has a kid, you know, and he's the same age as my son, 6 months older, and
wow.
You know, when I met the kid, he was like a real mama's boy, like just soft as toilet paper, and but you know, it's because he's around women all the time and stuff. You know, that kid,
sure.
I got him boxing. Holy crap! You had a see this kid.
Nice.
I mean, it would blow your mind. He's amazing. We haven't there. He's 5. We were having him spar an 8-year-old. He was tuning the 8-year-old up. Just tuning him up. And
good.
The kid's big, like, for his age, like, for 5. He's real tall. Like, I'm telling you, man, he's got me really excited because, you know, they're only 5. They can't fight till they're 8 now.
Right.
I'm like, let me tell you something. I'm going to take your son and my son. By the time they're, like, 10, they're going to be national champions. Like, it's crazy. Like, her son can, like, oh, man, can he fight. I was like, wow. Like, it was totally a shock. But, yeah, he's real good. So, and, you know, he's the same age as my son, so they're going to have plenty of sparring, you know.
Sure. Now, when you take a young boy like that and you put him into the sport, what do you do in the gym with him besides the ropes and the road work and the they can't do a speed bag? So tall, you know.
See, with kids at that age, you got to make it fun because you got to make it fun. Their attention span ain't real long. So, like, you can't train them like an adult. You know, you got to make it fun. Like, you know what it is? You almost got to make them want it. Like, you almost got, okay, for example, my kid and her kid's kind of the same way. They see me doing the mitts with other people, and then they want to do mitts. So, like, I want to do it. And, you know, it's amazing because they'll watch what you have other people do, and they will mimic. Like, you'll go to, like, okay, do this. Like, yeah, I know, because they watch what you did, you know. Like, so, you know, you got to make a little kid want it, and you got to make it fun. And, you know, you're not going to take a 5-year-old in the gym and train him for 2 hours. You know, you're going to take a 5-year-old in the gym, and you're going to train him for 15 minutes. But in that 15 minutes, they'll learn more than an adult does in 2 hours. Like, you know, you got to make it fun. You got to, like, mix it up, and, you know, you got to show them the basics. Like, you just got to make sure they try to throw punches as straight as they can and learn a little bit of movement. But, you know, kids learn so fast, it's insane. But, you know, I would rather train a kid than an adult any day because it's just so fun to watch a little kid as they mold and they start to learn the game, you know?
Sure. How does we were talking about kids and warriors and how does Brian Minto coming. I haven't heard from him in a long time. Is he still doing his thing in the ring and as a promoter?
You know, I don't know. I haven't heard from him either. I don't know. I think the last time I talked to him was right after he fought Marco Huck, and I haven't talked to him since.
Huh. Yeah. Now, there was a time when they lifted his license in Pennsylvania on some stupid thing that he was fighting the boxing commission. I don't know whether that may have kept him out of the ring, or whether he was, you know, trying to whether, you know, they would have banned him or whatever. I've never heard anything from him, and God, it's been at least I'd say 6 months to a year.
Yeah, that don't surprise me. I know I got to be careful what I say because we are on the radio, but
I
don't give a shit. You know, a lot of them boxing commissions are just they're fucking garbage. You know, they're after money, they're after what they can get. You know, and you know it's a power trip with a lot of them, and you know it's a shame because it's made boxing, you know, just go downhill, and you know fighting should be about fighting, and that's it. You know, but you know they're after every dollar. You know. I mean, think about it. You have to have a commission, right? Here's what a boxing commission does. They charge you for a boxing license. They charge the trainers for a trainer's license. They charge the promoter for a promoter's license. They do all these charges, right, just to say, okay, you can have your show here now. In my opinion, they're almost pointless. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, we got to pay you all this money just so you can watch a boxing match and say, okay, yeah, it's sanctioned now. I don't care who I piss off by saying it, but, you know, I mean, it's garbage. In my opinion, it's garbage. And I think it hurts the sport. I mean, you know, back in the days, it wasn't like that. You know, a boxing convention was a boxing convention. You didn't have to pay them. They sanctioned the fight. They watched the fight, and that's it. Yeah, you need somebody to watch the hands and wrap and stuff like that, but, you know, it is what it is. They're crooked. They're a bunch of crooks, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had talked to Vivek Wallace a couple times in the last 3 or 4 months. In fact, he was on for our 200. I think you were on with him too for our 200 show. And
I was.
He's an outspoken critic of the boxing commissions, and he's an excellent writer for both all the sports magazines and then the paper down in I think he's Fort Myers, he said just exactly what you just said, that it's time to make some kind of a change, that these guys are doing nothing. And he even went back to the Dave Tiberi story, and how after Dave was robbed of his title fight, Bill Roth, Senator Bill Roth, a friend of ours, was able to sit down with Dave and craft the Muhammad Ali law to try and cut out a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
but,
and you know, I don't really, you know, I'm not really a big fan of the Muhammad Ali law either.
Right.
To be honest with you, because, I don't know, boxing needs to be fixed in so many ways, but the bottom line is this: boxing is one of the few sports that will probably never be changed. And
right.
I think the Muhammad Ali Act did nothing but make it worse, because, and here's my opinion on that. Okay, promoters used to be able to sign you for as long as they wanted, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, if a promoter knows he's got you for 5 or 6 years, he'll put in a lot more money to you. You know what I mean? Like, he'll pay you. He'll get you them wins. But, like, okay, now a promoter can only sign you for, what, 2-3 years at a time, whatever it is. Why is the promoter now going to put the same money into you when at the end of his contract, you can walk away from them if you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you almost had it better before, because if a promoter knew he had you for most of your career, he'd put money into you, he wouldn't worry about it, you know he's had you, he'd actually take better care of you. So, like, you know, I don't really agree with that Muhammad Ali Act. I think it almost screwed fighters. And, like, the thing with boxing is this. You know, the Shane Mosley's, De La Hoya's, Hopkins, Jones, you know, you can almost name on your hands the fighters that make the big money. But there's the other couple hundred thousand of us that are struggling and trying to make it there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the only thing they're doing in boxing is they're making the top guys get richer and the lower guys struggle harder.
How long can Hopkins and Holyfield go? I mean, they're what, 49? Didn't Hopkins just outlast George Foreman by 12 days.
Yeah, I think Hopkins is 46. You know, 46. I don't know, man. You know, everybody's different. You know, you got some guys that hit their rope early. You know, you got to think Hopkins did start late, so he might kind of have an advantage. You know, he may have not took as much abuse yet as other people have took. You know, it's just all different. You know, you never know how long somebody can go. Holyfield, I think he's really showing the signs. But,
yeah.
You know, he still gets in there and fights good. So, I mean, you know, hey, in my opinion, let them fight because they can't fight. You know, let them fight
because
they say, okay, I can't do it no more. Why not? You know, it's their life. You know, it's their life. You know, you should. You know, nowadays they're trying to control everything. It's like if you own a house nowadays. Yeah, homeowners society. Like, you can't have certain plants outside. You got to cut your
right.
lawn a certain way. You don't even own your own home no more. You know what I mean? It's like,
sure.
you know, let us do what we want to do for a living. You know.
Sure. Well, you know, the one thing about Holyfield is he always gave Michael. What the hell's his name? Guy with the I'm having a brain fart here. Frankie, he was.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't know his name either.
The guy with the tattoo all over his face.
Tyson.
He gave Tyson an earful.
Oh yeah. He sure did. You know, I was at that fight. You know, I was at both them fights.
Really?
Fights.
Nice.
Yeah, because I was with Mike for a lot of years, and you know, I was able to go along with him, and they brought me there, and you know, I was actually ringside. And, yeah, I was at both them fights. It was something else.
Yeah.
And you know,
I'm looking. You know, I'm 68, and I sure as hell wouldn't want to have to get in there and fight some guy 68 years old, even though I go to the gym every day and work out pretty hard. I know my age versus their age. Their age, their bodies have got to be in, on the inside as bad as mine is right now.
When you've done nothing but fight your whole life. You know, a lot of people don't understand. Like a lot of people, like myself, like you know, this is what I've done. You know, I had my first actual. I started when I was 5. I had my first actual real boxing match when I was 6. I turned pro at 19.
Uh-huh.
I'm 34 now. Like, this is all I've done. This is all we know, you know. And it's like, I don't know, you know, fighting is different to us. You know, it's just, it's like you guys, it's like, you know, your job, you know, whatever you do, you know, your guys, you just go to work, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's all them punches, you know, you take hit, you take the abuse. You know, we're used to the abuse. We're used to getting hit, you know, it's part of the day, you know. It's like, you know, we don't want that to get took from us. You know, like
yeah.
you know, we want to fight. We want to go out on our shields. You know, like trust me. If you ask real fighters, the real ones, let me tell you something. I guarantee you, 9 out of 10 of us, our ideal death would be to go in that ring.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least we went out doing what we did, and it wouldn't be from some disease or cancer. Or, you know what I mean? Like. You go out fighting, you know what I mean? And this is what we've done our whole life, and this is what we want to do.
Right.
This is what we like to do, you know? Just let us do it, you know?
Right. Well, you know, that's funny you say that, because 3 weeks ago when we had Layman on, that's exactly what Layman would say, you know? I'm a warrior. I want to go out as a warrior.
Listen.
And now he's into his training films and everything else.
Yeah. I can't. You know, there's very few fighters that I fought that I respect highly.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason I respect Layman is, one, he legitimately got me. You know, James Toney, Lance Whitaker, Demon Turner, they didn't beat me. They were gifted because they had the promoter. But Layman got me. He walked me down. He kept coming. He got me. I made a dumb mistake, but he got me. And I respect him, one, for that reason. And I respect him, two and foremost, because he was one of the best human beings I've actually met. He believes in God. He's a well-spoken person. He's a Christian. Like I enjoyed. You know, even after we fought, we spoke a few times on the phone. And he is the epitome of heart. Like he has heart. It's like when he fought Klitschko. No one, very few people could have took what he took and persevered and came back and stopped him. And even when Klitschko rematched him and beat him, he couldn't put Layman down. Layman ain't never been down. Man, hitting that man, when you hit Layman Brewster, you literally know the feeling of hitting a cement wall. after five rounds with him, I pulled my hands out of gloves. Both my hands were black and blue, and my right hand was broken. I've never hit a human being like that in my life. As soon as I hit him, I knew something was wrong. I was like, oh, this is going to be a long night. Like, I was like, wow. But, you know, he has heart. He has courage. Layman was one of my favorite fighters of all time, honestly. Like, you know, I really have respect for Layman Brewster so much.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's really a fun interview, just like yourself. I mean, he doesn't pull any punches. He talks about different things. He is always talking about his kids. He's always talking about a program. And now he's putting a program together. He was telling us that it's like a website that if you're in in this place and you just get on there.
I actually signed up on it.
Nice.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
you know, it's unfortunate he lost his eyesight. I feel bad for him that he had to go out. Because, you know, I know Layman didn't want to stop fighting yet, you know. It was a shame that, and, you know, that was a crooked deal. You know, I know them bastards over in Germany put something in that guy's gloves. You know what I mean? That was a real unfortunate incident. And, you know, I know Layman probably would have fought for another, you know, years, you know what I mean? But it's the name of the game, man. It's crooked. It ain't nice. But, you know, it's what we do. It's what we love. And, you know, we're fighters, you know what I mean? We'll do it wherever, whenever, however we got to.
Yeah.
But,
well, Dan, we're up against the end of the show here, and I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Sharing some great memories with us about Bob, and you're bringing us up to date on your life, and we look forward to you coming down, and you let us know when you are. Whenever you're ready to come down, you let us know, and we'll make sure
I will be back in Florida. I will be back in Florida sometime after July 20th. I love Florida. I love the people there. I can't wait to see them again. And I love you guys. You guys are awesome. You're like my family. You always will be. And, you know, anytime, anything for you guys, just let me know.
All right.
Real quick before you go, Danny, I know Bob would beg you to hit him as hard as you could, and unfortunately, he never got that chance. But I'm telling you, I'm going to step into Bob's shoes. I want you to hit me as hard as you can.
You ain't going to step into nothing, Frank, because just like Bob, I'm going to tell you, I won't do it for you, man. You guys are sick. You guys pick a little different upstairs, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, you'd have to go all the way to Utah to do it, though. He's not being fair with you.
you know, Bob was crazy. Bob really wanted me to. Like, Bob seriously wanted to get in the ring with me. He was like, Danny, he goes, you just got to hit me once as hard as you can. I was like, Bob, are you nuts? I go, I'm going to hit you. He goes, no, you have to. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, I want to say I've been hit by a legitimate heavyweight that's been ranked in the world. I said, Bob, I'm not hitting you. And he was like, actually, like, one night, I think he'd had a couple to drink, but he like actually got pissed at me. He's like, what do I got to do, call you a pussy? I'm like, Bob, stop. I'm like, just stop. And he's like, whatever. Like, he's like, I'll do it. I was like, I know you will. You're crazy. Like, he's nuts.
You know, one day, you know, we used to work out with Adam and Aaron at the gym. And we went down, and the rule was, if you forgot your mouthpiece, they supplied one for you, but you had to go two rounds. And he took a couple shots from Adam, and they were pulled shots, and he just looked at me and says, that's it. I'll never forget my mouthpiece again.
Yeah. Bob had no concept, I think, of protection. I don't even know. He was not. Gotta give him credit, though, man, for someone to ask for something like that. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, shit, I don't even like heavyweights hitting me as hard as they can. I do it for a living, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, about 4 years ago, he was going about 265 and just decided he needed to make a change. And at the time, I was going to probably around 325. And now I'm, because of him, and the running and the boxing and the working out every morning, I'm down to 245, and Bob was down to about 205.
Yeah, Bob would trip me out. Bob was like, one day I called him, like, what are you doing, Bob? He goes, oh, I'm just relaxing, you know, I want to relax. He goes, I'm going to probably go run about 5 or 6 miles. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I'm going to run about 5 or 6 miles. I go, why are you doing that? He goes, I love to run.
Yeah.
I said, dude, you're nuts. I go, you're nuts. You know, then he wanted to run a marathon. He's like, run a marathon with me. I said, Bob, I said, I tell you what, I'll drive beside you in a car. I said, but I ain't running no marathon with you.
Well, you know, we had something called a chicken run down here. There was my daughter Casey, my son Bob, and the quarterback from the Storm, who's a good friend of ours, Brett Dietz. And of course, Casey is a triathlete, and she just smoked those guys. Then she went back the last 2 miles, and she was just on Bob unmercifully, and got his speed up, and then. Now, and then they would go back and get Brett, who was at that point just walking. He just couldn't keep up with them because it was a 5K, or 6K rather, but they had to go up a very steep bridge and down the other side and turn around and come back up and come back to Flatland. But boy, Brett has never forgotten it. In fact,
I bet.
Frankie and Casey and Brett and Evan Longoria, no, I'm sorry, not Evan Longoria, Ben Zobrist from the Devil Rays are going to champion a cause. We're going to have a chicken challenge every year, and you can run it. It's going to be a 1 mile fun run or walk. It's going to be is it a 10K or a 5K, Frank?
Okay.
Yeah. And it's going to be any funds that raised will go to fallen officers' families. So we're going to be getting that all together, and as long as you're going to be down here, we want you to be part of the host committee and part of our
I will root them runners on. I'll be like, go guys, go.
Thanks very much for coming on with us, and we appreciate
it. Hey, man, thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Okay, you too.
Thanks.
Stay safe.
All right, guys, take care. Bye.
All right.
Okay. That was Danny Batchelder, who's been a fantastic friend and an excellent fighter throughout his career. Now we're glad to hear him coming back to Florida, especially with Joe Ponce, because Joe Ponce does run a strict camp and a very good camp. Frank, you have anything in closing here?
No, you touched on it briefly, but we are going to be starting a foundation, the Robert Anthony Carroll Foundation. Anyone listening or anyone that may listen to this later, that, keep an eye out for it. We'll be announcing it. And we would love to have any of you, anyone that would like to be a part of it. We'd very much appreciate it.
Great. Okay, well, we want to thank all our worldwide listeners and local listeners. We want to say thank you very much to our sponsor, Dr. Kathleen Carroll at Bloomingdale Psychiatric Associates, who provides this program every week. And grateful appreciation to the men and women of the armed forces and men and women of fire rescue and law enforcement. And we want to especially dedicate this show to Deputy Bob Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeff Kolkap, Sergeant Tom Batinger, Patrolman Jeff Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, and two of my best buddies, golfing buddies, Detective Randy Bell and Ricky Childers. Your tour duty's done, my friends. Sleep in peace. That's it for us.
Okay.
Okay.
See you guys next week.
Yep.
Till the break of dawn, I found a little kitty wandered up to me and dog off your round again. But if you stay too long, I'm gonna let the dog out all the time. We ain't gonna fall in love, you crazy bitch. I just need you for a minute now, grab my hand. Before we start, you better hear my song. Cause if you think we're gonna fall in love, you couldn't be more wrong. You couldn't be more wrong. Get you alive.